KUOW podcasts are made possible by listener support. Become a new or renewing member today at KUOW.org.
39.
From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm David Hyde. The city council has requested a task force study the Woodland Park Zoo elephant exhibit. Critics are saying elephants do not do well in captivity. Defenders say zoos are key to global conservation efforts. So should the Woodland Park Zoo continue to display elephants? Seattle City Councilwoman Sally Bagshaw told KUOW's Joshua McNichols earlier today why she requested a task force to look at the elephant exhibit.
You know, I don't want this to get into a situation where those of us who don't have the scientific background or the knowledge about the best practices, the elephant's health, the individual elephants. I don't want us to be making that decision. This is something for the zoo board to decide and to come back to us and tell us what they're going to do.
Bagshaw says she expects the independent panel of experts will produce a report within a couple of weeks. Joining us first on this topic is Carter Roberts. He's president and CEO of the World Wildlife Fund. Carter Roberts, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
So before we get into zoos, I want to ask just about the state of elephant populations around the world. How are they doing today compared to, you know, how they were in the past?
Well, you know, we've got about 700,000 elephants around the world, most of them in Africa. We thought we had generally solved the problem of poaching, but in the past 3 years, the numbers have taken off, and this past year was the worst ever, where we lost tens of thousands of elephants to poachers who were selling the tusks to China and using the proceeds to buy arms in places like the Central African Republic.
So ivory is obviously the biggest threat. The ivory trade is the biggest threat to elephants around the world. What are some of the other threats to elephants?
Well, loss of habitat, human-wildlife conflict. These are magnificent animals. I just saw lots of them in southern Africa, but in some places they're running out of space. They're losing their migratory corridors, and part of what we also need to do is to restore those corridors so they can move around.
What's being done to try to curtail or completely stop the ivory trade and the trafficking that's leading to the slaughter of so many elephants?
Well, the first thing you have to realize, this is a huge international problem. You've got source countries in Africa, you've got countries that play the role of middlemen, and then you've got those countries that are manning the products all the way around the world. So we just released a report at the UN last week that talked about the systemic failure to get after the problem, the things we need to do. And the biggest things we need to do is to get more money in the hands of police and law enforcement officials on the ground, use new technology to track poachers and track animals. And in fact, last week we just announced a $5 million grant from Google to experiment with new technologies to do just that. And then the last thing we need is the commitment to governments, particularly those in those countries that are demanding ivory, to kill the trade, to apprehend the criminals and put them behind bars.
And that's a list of some things that are actually already being done. Why isn't it working?
Well, you know, the price has skyrocketed, largely driven by the new wealth in parts of the world, particularly Asia. And the criminals are becoming much more sophisticated. And it really is a matter of matching the resources we bring to bear to the problem to the resources that the criminals are bringing to the problem. So we need to be more sophisticated, better organized, and we need to follow through in the laws that a lot of these countries have on the books that just aren't enforced.
We're talking about elephant conservation with Carter Roberts. He's president and CEO of the World Wildlife Fund. And the Seattle City Council has requested a task force study the Woodland Park Zoo elephant exhibit, critics saying that elephants do not do well in captivity. Carter Roberts, what are the biggest benefits, do you think, of zoos for elephant conservation around the world?
Well, you know, for a lot of people, they fall in love with the animals we're trying to save when they see those animals in a zoo. For a lot of people, it's their only chance to meet these astonishing animals up close and to spark them to care about conservation. So Zoos play a really important role, and I'm not saying they're a substitute for conservation in the wild. In fact, in most cases, we believe that conservation dollars are best spent saving those places where animals exist in the wild and keeping them from being killed. But we have all kinds of relationships with zoos that tell the story of animals and the need to conserve them and help people understand animals and ultimately fall in love with them.
And, of course, there are some problems, allegedly, with elephants in zoos. We're going to be talking about that more in a minute. But what do you think, just in general, about the argument that big animals like elephants should only live in the wild?
Well, again, you know, what we believe is that most of the resources that should go to saving elephants should go to saving elephants in the wild. We don't think there's a great argument for bringing wild elephant populations into zoos. But the elephants that are in zoos right now, the role that zoos play is still fundamentally important in educating people about these animals, their lifestyles, their habitat range, and the threats that they face. For most people who it's their one chance to see elephants and understand what their needs are.
Bottom line, from your perspective at the World Wildlife Fund, if all zoos stopped displaying elephants tomorrow, what would that do to global conservation efforts?
Well, you know, bottom line is our work is about telling stories of animals and what they face in the world. It's harder to do that if people can't come face-to-face with animals and understand their needs.
Carter Roberts, thanks so much.
Of course, at the end of the day, what we're about is saving animals in the wild.
Thanks so much for taking the time.
Thank you.
Carter Roberts is president and CEO of the World Wildlife Fund, and we're talking about elephants in the context of the city council having requested a task force to study the Woodland Park Zoo elephant exhibit, critics saying that elephants do not do well in captivity. And joining us next to explore that question is Georgia Mason. She's an expert on animal behavior at the University of Guelph in Ontario. Georgia Mason, thanks for taking the time.
Thanks for having me.
So what are the biggest problems from your perspective studying animal behavior with zoos displaying elephants?
Well, the biggest problems that we see in zoo elephants are stereotypic behavior, which is repetitive swaying that's a sign of stress and probable brain dysfunction, and that seems to occur in about 50% of the population. They're really hard to breed, so many of the females don't show normal reproductive cycles. If they do get pregnant, it's really hard to keep the infants alive. They have much higher infant mortality than you'd expect. And if they survive infancy, it's quite hard to keep the adults alive, so the average adult lifespan is much shorter than it should be. So this is true for zoos on average. Some zoos are doing better than others, suggesting that husbandry, if it's improved, can make a difference. But certainly, typically so far, zoos have been dramatically underperforming with these animals.
And you mentioned some of the habits that zoo elephants have as opposed to elephants in the wild. I think it's abnormal repetitive behavior, I guess, is the name for that. How do you know that those behaviors are abnormal or that they're a problem for the elephants?
Well, we know for a couple of reasons. One is that biologists who've really studied these animals in enormous depth in the wild never see these behaviors. They might see transient little things, the odd flick of a trunk, the odd flapping of ears, but they don't see these bouts of repetition that go on for minutes or hours, and they don't see behaviors that characterize an animal that it performs every day, every week. And we also know a lot about these behaviors from scientific research on other species. So we know that systematically they're far more severe and more common in environments that animals would rather not be in. So stress-inducing environments elicit them. And we also know that they correlate with other behavioral changes that are very suggestive of autistic-like brain dysfunction. So animals with these behaviors typically become very habit-prone, very ritualistic in everything they do. You need scientific measurements to detect this, but it's been found in this kind of correlation between autistic-like changes and these very conspicuous abnormal behaviors have been found in about 16 species so far. That's every species that's been looked at. So, you know, it's pretty certain that it's true for elephants as well. So that's why we know they're problematic.
How common is this for other animals in zoos?
It varies across different taxonomic groups. So some species just have a great time in zoos. As far as we can tell, they thrive. They don't show abnormal behavior. They breed like crazy. If you give them the chance, their infants survive really well. And there's a number of other species that seem to struggle in the confines of captivity. So some of the wide-ranging carnivores are hard to keep well. Again, this is just a kind of average picture. Again, some zoos do well, even with these difficult species. Some zoos do terribly. But it really seems that some of the wider-ranging species can be challenging to keep well.
Georgia Mason is an animal behavior expert at the University of Guelph in Ontario. Last question for you. Should zoos be displaying elephants or not?
They have them, so they are morally bound to look after them and keep them as best they can now.
But they could send them to an elephant reserve, right?
Breeding them personally until they've worked out how to solve the problems.
Sorry, I kind of interrupted you there. What did you say?
I said I think they should stop breeding them until they've worked out how to solve their problems.
All right. Georgia Mason, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
She's an expert on animal behavior at the University of Guelph in Ontario. And we're talking about elephants and zoos, and specifically now the Woodland Park Zoo. Joining us here in the studio is Michael Behrens. He's an investigative reporter for the Seattle Times who's been writing about the Woodland Park Zoo. You should check out his stories. We've got links online at kuow.org. Seattle's Woodland Park Zoo is home to three elephants, one female East African bush elephant and two female Asian elephants. So the question is, for Michael Behrens and the city at this point, what's going to happen to those elephants? What's the case that Woodland Park Zoo is making for continuing, Michael Behrens, to keep these elephants?
Well, I think the city has a long history of caring for elephants, and I think what Woodland Park officials have told us, the Seattle Times, that is that the elephants are ambassadors to the elephants in the wild. And just what we heard earlier in the program, that when the public shows up at an elephant exhibit, they have these feelings that engender more conservation or make me want to donate money to elephants. And so I think there's some real valid issues there, obviously. That elephants do help the public better understand the plight of what's going on in the wild. I think the question that we raised in our stories is, what's the cost of this, and is the cost worth it?
And the article is very fact-based. What are the facts that you found out about how elephants do in zoos, and specifically the Woodland Park Zoo?
Well, the hard truth is that despite all the best intentions, despite the best zoos, despite the smartest and most caring people out there, elephants are dying out inside America's zoos. For every elephant born, another two elephants died. The mortality rate for elephants is triple what we find in the wild. So whatever the intentions, whether it's a good zoo or a bad zoo, if you look at the larger picture, our effort to conserve elephants in captivity is failing as it currently stands right now.
Did you figure out why in your reporting, why this is happening, why the infant mortality rate is so high, for example?
Well, I think as your expert just pointed out, there's a lot that we still don't know about elephants. The more we find out, the more human-like we understand them to be. They have feelings. They can show sorrow. They recognize themselves in the mirror. They live in families for life. Females bond with their daughters for life. They're never separated in the wild. It's an amazing portrait of almost humanity when you start looking at the elephants and start peeling back the science of what's going on. Unfortunately, with zoos, we're still learning about diseases that affect elephants. There's a virus that is notorious for targeting particularly young Asian elephants. It's called a herpes virus. Zoos are struggling to understand this virus, where it came from. Does it exist in the wild? Does it shed from the skin? Is it spread through the uterus? Any number of things we don't know. And so I think it's these question marks. And you have to remember that just 20, 30 years ago, zoos were reckless with the way that they tried to breed elephants. They bred fathers with daughters and sisters with brothers, and there was no organization. So to the credit of the zoo industry, in the last decade or so, they've really tried to bring an organization to the breeding practices of elephants. But despite their best efforts, the elephants are still dying out.
The other thing that you look at is just the process of trying to help these or make these elephants reproduce, and it's a kind of brutal, graphic description of that. How does it compare to the way other animals, do you think, are treated in zoos or in society generally, horses or other kinds of animals? I mean, what's your sense of that?
You know, I have no idea, to be honest. I know that elephants present a unique challenge when it comes to reproductivity because the elephant reproductive tract is about 3 feet long and it's twisty. Elephants, you know, and I'm not an expert, so I hope I'm not saying something wrong here, but I think, you know, they have kind of in their biological history an aquatic background, and like whales to some extent. And this reproductive tract is twisty to help prevent, you know, contamination. And so it presents unique challenges when you're trying to do artificial insemination and trying to get sperm into the right spot of an elephant when the tract is so long. And so zoos have struggled with trying to find precision in the way that they do this.
Seattle Times investigative reporter Michael Behrens is with us, and we're talking about the elephants at the Woodland Park Zoo. I'm wondering, Michael Behrens, how the zoo has responded so far to your reporting.
Well, I think understandably they're not happy with the report. I think the words that they used was skewed or slanted was their critique of the story. They have not challenged any of the facts of the story. They have not asked for any retractions or corrections, nor has the National Zoo industry for that matter. And I think if you read the stories, you see that it is grounded in the zoo industry's own reports, their own numbers, the fact that elephants are not thriving in zoos, or in any number of research reports authored by top zoo officials. This is a subject that the zoo industry has spent a lot of time and money to obscure from the public, and that's something we also reported. They've hired crisis management firm to try to obscure this issue, and it's an unfortunate fact that no matter how you look at it, the elephants are dying out inside the zoos.
And we heard earlier from Sally Bagshaw saying, you know, that she's requested this task force to look at what's happening with the zoos at Woodland Park. And also in some of your reporting, it suggests that she's going to be down checking out some of these animal reserves where elephants can go. How do those work as alternatives, do you think, for zoos?
Well, I think you're referring to the elephant sanctuaries.
Sanctuaries, right.
And there are two nonprofit sanctuaries in the United States, one in Tennessee, one in Northern California. And they're operated essentially by animal advocates. And it's important to understand that sanctuaries are not an alternative to zoos. They don't consider themselves an alternative. This is not a place that they want elephants. Sanctuaries represent essentially hospice for zoos. This is where the broken, tired, unwanted, old, retired elephants go. And so this is where they go to die, essentially. The miraculous part, I think, of sanctuaries is that many of these most broken down elephants, when they arrive at the sanctuary, heal when they're given thousands of acres to roam and being able to reintegrate into a large herd. And so we see, you know, an amazing transformation of elephants who exhibited that stereotypical behavior that we heard about earlier. And then after a few years of the sanctuary, many of them no longer exhibit that behavior. So we can see a stark difference in the lifestyle of an elephant. But to be honest, you know, sanctuaries aren't open to the public. They don't charge admission. This is not a public event. They're there to try to help zoos essentially wean themselves away from elephant exhibits.
All right. And the zoo is expected to make a decision sometime next year about the future of the elephants in the Woodland Park Zoo. What do you expect that decision is going to be?
Well, the zoo officials are adamantly in support of their elephant exhibit. In fact, they told us prior to our story that they hope to expand it.
All right, Michael Behrens, thanks so much for telling us about it. He is an investigative reporter for the Seattle Times, and you can check out his articles at our website. We've got a link at kuow.org. From KUOW, 94.9 Seattle, I'm David Hyde.
Thanks for listening. The program you just heard was made possible by the financial support of our listeners. Support this program and others like it by making a pledge today at kuow.org.